Good morning. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah Chaf Hey. We're starting with the Mishnah, the very bottom, Chaf Dal Amud Beis, and we're continuing here in Masech Rosh Hashanah, in the second perek, regarding the issue of Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the new month. So these are going to be one of the last daffim that we're going to be discussing the Kiddush HaChodesh. In fact, it is the last daff of the second perek. The beginning of the third perek, just one more topic of Kiddush HaChodesh. It's a little bit funny how the perekim are broken up, and generally speaking, with a new perek is a new topic. The third parak, which Mir Tzoshim we're going to be starting this morning, really is going to be focusing on shofar. Fourth parak is going to be focusing on shofar on Rosh Hashanah. But anyway, we are finishing up on Kiddush HaChodesh. Today we're going to be hearing about one of the more infamous stories that occurs regarding Kiddush HaChodesh. That's coming up a little bit later on. But meanwhile, let's just quickly back up for a moment and let's get our bearings. So as we have been discussing now over the course of this entire parak, So Kiddush HaChodesh involves Edom. You have two witnesses who see the emergence of the new moon, and they go to Beis Din. They report to Beis Din what they saw. Beis Din is going to be Choker. They'll ask questions, basic questions regarding what did you see? Could you describe it? Rabbi Gamliel even had models in his office of the moon and asked the witnesses to point. Could you show me what you saw? And that's what we discussed yesterday. And yesterday, the Gemara spent a full Amud, all of Chavdal Amud Beis, an entire Amud, discussing whether or not it was okay for Rabbi Gamliel to have models in his office. Now, I'd start off with the discussion by saying, of course it's okay, he's Rabbi Gamliel. But there's an issue in terms of making models, making replications of the stars, the sun, the moon, et cetera, et cetera. Good, but that we'll leave aside. In other words, the bigger topic is Eidus HaChodesh. So, and we've also discussed already numerous times, I'm just going over the basics so that we have our bearings, because truth of the matter is that the story is amazing, but the details behind the story, however, it gets heavy. I'm not going to get into any kind of heavy lifting in terms of astronomy and the Molad, but that's going to be a big part of the story. But in the meantime, however, so when are the Edom going to testify? So we know that the emergence of the new moon is going to be occurring after the Molad. Molad is a point of conjunction where the Earth, the moon, and the sun are in alignment. And then sometime thereafter, so you'll have the emergence of the new moon. The witnesses are going to see it. They're going to testify in front of Beis Din that they saw it. What day now is going to become Rosh Chodesh? So the answer is very simple. When the Edom come and report. It could be either the 30th day of the previous month or the 31st day of the previous month. And as we've also discussed previously in our Masechta, so Beis Din also is going to play a role in it as well. Beis Din at times is going to manipulate. We discussed this a couple days ago. As per needed, based in if Beis Din feels for whatever reasons, and earlier in the Masechta we discussed a couple of really significant reasons why the perishables of food and the deterioration of a body. So there are a number of good reasons why Beis Din would do it. Beis Din will manipulate the calendar to the point where there was an opinion that we saw in the Gemara. Where even if Edom didn't see the moon, this part's rather amazing. Even if the Edom didn't see the moon, Beis Din's still gonna manufacture Edom. I know I'm saying it with no cynicism whatsoever. It's part of the system. Beis Din's gonna manufacture Edom in order to induce them to say that they saw the moon. So that if Beis Din needs to manipulate the months, so they have the right to do so. Good. So and in the course of today's daf, we're going to see very clearly that the Kiddush HaChodesh, even though Edom are an integral part of the process, nevertheless, if Beis Din for whatever reason feels and determines that the other day should be Rosh Chodesh, it's still, the candidates are only two candidates. It can either be day 30 or day 31. There's no other possible day that could be Rosh Chodesh, but for whatever reason, Beis Din decides that one of those days should be Rosh Chodesh as opposed to the other, so then Beis Din will make that determination and that's it. And that will become the day of Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so there's always a tension. There's a built-in tension that we've seen throughout this Masechta that as important as Edom are to the process, nevertheless, when all said and done, Edom are not the end-all be-all in terms of the determination of Rosh Chodesh. That is going to really be a function of Beis Din. Good. All that I say by way of introduction. Let's begin. Maaseh Shebaru Shniyim V'Amru Ra'inu. Ra'inu Hu Shacharis B'Mizrach. V'Arvis B'Mariv. So along comes two witnesses and reports to the Beis Din, and here's what they saw. In the morning, this morning, we saw the old moon, okay? Just as we start today's daf. So reports came over here, right here into this room. that we saw the old moon, which is true. In other words, you went out this morning and you could see the old moon. We are, we figured it out before the daf today. We're about a day and a half before the Molad, right? The Molad is early Friday morning in Yerushalayim, which means that the Molad is going to be sometime Thursday evening. And so Thursday, right, towards evening, late afternoon. And meanwhile, so we are now about a day and a half away from the Molad. So you're going to see the old moon. You wake up in the morning, you go outside, and before the sun rises, and you'll see the old moon. Good. So the witnesses actually reported that in the morning they saw the old moon. Then they also reported, and that was out in the east, which, by the way, that's where you're going to find the old moon, meaning, again, go outside and take a look. Right? It'd be nice if we all just stopped and walked outside and saw the old moon. Okay, good. Yeah. I know it's out there. It's out there. Good. And by the way, if you've been following this Masechta well, so you know that the old moon now is going to be in front of the sun. That's Lifnei HaChama. Okay. Oh, it's great how it all plays out. It's right. It all works. So the and then what's going to happen now is that we're then going to move to the point of Molad where the sun and the moon are going to be in conjunction. And then what's going to happen is that the moon is going to be following the sun. Well, we're only going to see that towards the evening, and that's going to be in the west. So what these witnesses now reported is that all that happened within one day's time. Oh, so in other words, they saw the old moon in the east, and that very same day, they saw the new moon in the west. Possible or impossible? Okay, so you talk about the big question that the Gemara is going to be asking today. The Gemara is not really going to be asking it today, meaning let's just say it's impossible. Okay, although I say that knowing that what I'm saying is there's a lot to unpackage over there, but just for the purposes of just saying a simple pshat in the Gemara today, so let's say that's impossible. Okay, so with that stated, so that's where the witnesses testified. I'm going to start again with the Mishnah. So Meisah Shabbos Shalim Va'amareinu Shacharis B'Mizrach. So we saw the old moon in the east, and Va'arvis B'Marav, and on that very same day, so we saw the new moon in the west, all in one day. So Amar Yocham Anuri Eidishekarheim. So Rav Yocham Anuri hears this, and he says it's impossible. It's just simply impossible. Okay, Rashi points out over here, Rashi does offer a couple of pshatim, but I'm going to say over Rashi's first pshat, it's the simplest pshat, and that is Chaf Dal Shah. So you remember the Gemara that we saw on Daf Chaf 5 days ago, where the Gemara says that it takes 24 hours to go from an old moon to a new moon, meaning from the point of the disappearance of the old moon to the emergence of the new moon. So that's going to be 24 hours. Even though I say that, we know the 24 hours is not absolute, but for the purposes of our discussion, the point is still made. There's no way you can go from the disappearance of the old moon to the appearance of the new moon all within one day. It can't be. You can't have seen the old moon in the morning and the new moon in the evening. It can't be. So Rav Yocham Anuri then just simply hears what these Edom have to say, and they say, okay, good. What you're saying is impossible. Okay, Edei Sheker. Okay, you're fabricating. You're not telling the truth. So Kishabal Liyavne. However, when these witnesses came to Yavne, Kiblan Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel said, okay, good. Edom are wonderful. Right, I love what they're saying. I'm a Kabbal. So he accepts the Edus of these witnesses. Vod Baushnaim Va'amarina Bizmano Uvalal Iburo Lo Nire. Okay, and now on another occasion, so the witnesses say that they saw Bizmano. Zmano simply means that they saw it on the 30th day. However, Lel Iburo, on the evening of the Ibra, meaning the next day, the 31st day, Lo Nira. They didn't see it. Okay, so the new moon appeared and then disappeared. Now that's not how it works, meaning once the new moon appears, so it waxes. It only is going to get bigger. It's not going to disappear. The old moon disappears. The new moon doesn't disappear. So they're testifying about the new moon that they saw. And then a day later, I don't know what happened. It's not there anymore. And Vikimlam Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel was Mekabel that as well. Okay, so on two occasions, now Rabbi Gamliel was Mekabel witnesses who testified about a moon that is what seemingly is scientifically impossible, right? Empirically impossible. But Rabbi Gamliel said, okay, we're going to accept the Edus. So I'm Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus Eidei Sheker Hain. So Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus is beside himself. These witnesses are saying something that's simply not true. Heich meidem al isha shialdo lamacher kresa ben shineha. What, you're testifying of a woman who gave birth and then the next day she's pregnant? Meaning we're going backwards over here. It can't be. So I'm lo Rabbi Yeshua roa ani svarecha. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I'm with you. Meaning he's pointing to Rav Dosa. And he says, I'm with you. Meaning you're right. What these witnesses are testifying simply can't be. And I don't know how Rabbi Gamliel is accepting them. And basically now what they're calling into question is the decision-making of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, here's where the story goes off the rails. So Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel goes, Rani alacha shetavo etzli b'maklech v'ma'osecha b'yam ha-kippurim. Shechal liyos b'cheshbonech. Okay, so now a major debate regarding what day is actually Rosh Chodesh. Now, we're not just talking about any Rosh Chodesh. We're talking over here about the Rosh Chodesh of Rosh Hashanah. And so now, a dispute amongst Gedolei Yisrael in terms of when Rosh Hashanah is. And the dispute is going to be grounded in whether or not what the witnesses are saying we know is not true, and whether or not we're going to be accepting them anyway. Now, Rabbi Gamliel was prepared to accept them, even though what they're saying is not possible. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yoshua and Rav Dosa ben Hurkanus, so their position is, well, what they're saying is simply not true. Meaning we all know how the moon operates. What these witnesses are describing are simply impossible in both of these occasions. But in one of them, it impacted the day of Rosh Hashanah. So now they're saying, how could you accept these witnesses? These witnesses are not describing Rosh Chodesh, and therefore it can't be Rosh Chodesh, and therefore it's not Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and therefore, 10 days later, so they're going to have a debate in terms of which day is Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yoshua, so here's what you're going to do. The day that you think is Yom Kippur, so look, I'm the Av Beis Din. I make the decisions. I'm telling you when Yom Kippur is. I'm telling all of Klal Yisrael when Yom Kippur is. The day that you think is Yom Kippur, so you're going to be coming to me. B'maklecha v'ma'osecha, you're going to come to me with the staff, meaning you'll carry money. And b'yom ha-kippur shechalios b'cheshbanech, based on the Yom Kippur that you think is Yom Kippur. Meaning, look, when all said and done, I'm going to make the decision in terms of when Rosh Chodesh is, and you'll follow my decision. Right or wrong, I'm right. Okay, good. So, halachu masa Rabbi Kiva meitzar. And so, the way the sentence is phrased over here, it's a little bit unclear. The Gemara is going to clean it up in terms of who exactly is sad. From the context of the story, it's pretty clear who's sad. But anyway, so he finds Rabbi Akiva, meaning Rabbi Yeshua finds Rabbi Akiva. So Amar lo yesh lelomo shekoma shasur and Gamliel asuring. So Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua, okay, so look, what Rabbi Gamliel decided, that's it. In other words, he's the leader, he's the decision maker, and our job is to follow his decisions. Shenemar elamo de Hashem ikrei kodesh asher tikro osam bemo asher tikro osam. Okay. So bein bezmanam bein shelo bezmanam. So as far as Moed Hashem are concerned, asher tikro. So when they call it, in other words, whatever call they make, so that's it. That's the call. So ein li moados ela elu. So and that's it. In other words, moed is going to be all predicated on whatever decision they make. Ba lo eitz Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus amar lo, and now he goes to Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus, meaning Rabbi Yoshua, meaning so he already got some nechama explanation from Rabbi Akiva. And now Rabbi Yeshua turns to Rav Dosa ben Hurkanus. Now you remember earlier, Rav Dosa ben Hurkanus was also one of the Tanayim who called into question the decision of Rabbi Gamliel. But now Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanus, upon further review of the play, so Rav Dosa ben Hurkanus said, you know what? Amar lo im bayin anu ladon achar beizdin achar beizdinu shal Rabbi Gamliel tzrichem anu ladon achar kol beizdin ubeizdin shaman miyamos Moshe van achshav. So now, if we're going to be challenging the judgment of Rabbi Gamliel, so why don't we just simply call into question every Beis Din from Moshe up until now? So Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, and a selection of Zakenim. The Torah doesn't mention who they are. So why do they not receive a name? So because the nameless Dayanim are there to teach us a lesson, and that is that any Beis Din is k'Beis Din Shel Moshe. Nato maklo ma'osecha biyado. So Rabbi Yoshua, after now having debriefed together with Rabbi Kiva and debriefed also with Rav Dosa ben Hurkanus, so now Rabbi Yoshua makes the move, and I don't want to understate this, but one of the more important moves historically, and that is he yields. He capitulates. So he comes with his makal and ma'osav v'yadav ha'alach li'avni, goes to Yavne, Eitzel Rebbe Gamliel, b'yom shechal yom ha'kippur li'os b'cheshbono, on the day which he advances should be Yom Kippur, but Rebbe Gamliel decided otherwise. And so he goes to Rebbe Gamliel, and Amr Rebbe Gamliel v'nashkal rosho, and Rebbe Gamliel gives him a kiss. Amr lo bo b'shalom, Rebbe v'tamidai. So he says, oh, you're my Rebbe, you're my Talmud. So Rebbe b'chachma, so as much as you know more than I do, and you're forward, far advanced in Yedias HaTorah, but nevertheless, v'tamidash, but at the same time, you also accepted what I had to say, meaning you recognize me as the Av Beis Din, and good, and not only do I appreciate it, but the system has to be run where there's an Av Beis Din, there's a Nasi, and you follow, and you have to follow what he says. Much discussion to be had over here in this Mishnah. We're gonna follow the Gemara. The Gemara's lead in terms of where we're gonna take the discussion. The Tanya. So we're gonna start with the Braisa. Amar Lamar Gamlil Chachamim. Kach Mekublan Mebeis Avi Abba. Pamim Shabbat Barucha. Pamim Shabbat B'Ksara. So Rabbi Gamlil now in a postscript description of what he was doing, meaning what he was doing was that he was making it a Rosh Chodesh when seemingly it's impossible. So over here in the Gemara, we're given one line, that's it, just one line of an explanation for Rabbi Gamliel's action in terms of why it could be possible. And so we're not given much in terms of the Gemara. He says, look, I have a tradition. Pamim Shabbat Barucha, Pamim Shabbat B'Ksara. Sometimes it comes quickly, sometimes it comes long. Okay, so now in terms of a parish over here, so I encourage you, please take a look at Rashi over here, where Rashi does give some description of what's being said over here in the Gemara, but in the meantime, however, also right, I have a couple of aides over here. He spends a lot of time going over the possibilities. The basic idea over here is that the moon does not follow a regular path around the sun. It's an irregular path around the sun, and even though we say the molad, look, I've been saying it now for 2 weeks now. So I've been saying that the Molad is operating on a regular schedule of 29 days, 12 hours, 793 halakim. In fact, we're going to be saying that even in today's daf as well. That's not a real description. What that is an average, right? Like we discussed earlier this morning. It's an average. It just simply happens to be that when you take one Molad after another Molad and after another Molad and you figure out what the average is. So what we're saying, that number that we said, that's the average. But that's not actual. That's not the actual molad, right? The Rambam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh speaks like this as well. In other words, there's a molad ha'amiti, right? There's an actual molad. Okay, good. So that means to say then that sometimes it's going to come about. Sometimes it'll be where the moon acts a little bit unusual, a little bit strange. Okay, and that's it. In other words, I'm not going to dive any further. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel is just simply saying, look, I know it's irregular. I know what I'm doing seems strange, but the patterns of the moon are not as constant as you think, and so therefore I am correct. And moreover, by the way, and the Gemara is going to make this point as well, and even if I'm not correct, I'm correct. Meaning, Beis Din is going to make this determination, I'm the head of the Beis Din, good. So, anyway, but still the Gemara gives us what's the mechanics behind Rabbi Gamliel's decision. I'm Rav Yochanan, my time is the Bay Rebbe. So Rav Yochanan says, I'm Rav Yochanan, my time is the Bay Rebbe. What's the basis behind Rebbe? So Dichsiv Asa Yarech Lamo Adim Shemesh Adam Mevoa. So Shemesh Udi Adam Mevoa Yarech Lo Yadam Mevoa. So as far as the sun is concerned, so the sun is operating on a constant, meaning the sun. So we know that you can absolutely count down. When it comes to the moon, so the moon is a little trickier to figure out. So therefore it's okay if you're a little bit surprised about some of the activities of the moon. Rabbi Chichazi Lisiar Dahavakai Bitsafrag. Okay, good. So ending our discussion now in the Gemara, not fully ending it, but that's all we're getting in terms of an explanation from Rabbi Gamliel. We're continuing in the Gemara. So another incident, another episode, and this is now a couple generations later. Now we're by Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia, who's a student of Rabbi. Rabbi Chia Chazal Lisiar Dahavakai Bitsafra, the Esrim Vitisha. So Rabbi Chia, so now it's the morning of the 29th, and what does he see? He sees the moon. And over here, as Rashi points out, he's seeing the old moon. And that's on the morning of the 29th. And so now he's really upset because here's what he wants. He wants that moon to go away. He wants to be Mekadosh Sechodesh, meaning in the generations of Rabbi Chia, they were still being Mekadosh Apiyah Re'iyah. And so the move from a Beis Din operated Rosh Chodesh to a fixed calendar, so that takes place midpoint of the Amoraim, right? During the generations, the Rambam writes like this, so during the generations of Abai and Rava, which is like basically the middle of the Tkufa of the Amoraim, so that's when they move from a Beis Din Rosh Chodesh to a fixed Rosh Chodesh. So over here, we're talking about Rebbe Chia, so he's a late Tana, right, whatever. He's right on the border between Tanaim and Amoraim. He's one of the last generation Tanaim, so they were still operating based on Beis Din. And so now he sees the old moon in the morning of the 29th, so he's really upset. Because what he wants to do is he wants to be Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh. Obviously not on the 29th, in other words, the next day, but he wants to do so. The problem is that old moon is staring right at him. So, Shalko Kalo Patak Bey. So he does what seems to be slightly irrational, but he's upset. So what does he do? He takes a clump of dirt and he throws it at the moon. And Amar Laorta Beina L'Kedushe Bach. And he says, you know, tonight I want to be Mekadosh, meaning I want to be Mekadosh tomorrow as Rosh Chodesh. Ve'at Kayam Ta'ach. And what are you doing here? He's like, okay, good. So he's talking to the moon. Okay. It's perfect. He's upset. So Zil Ichsei. And he gives the moon instruction. He says, I need you to go hide yourself. Meaning, I need the old moon to disappear. I need the emergence of the new moon. Let's go. New. So Amalei Rebbe LeRebbe Chia Zil Ein Tav V'Kasha LeYarcha. So Rebbe says to Rebbe Chia, so here's what you're going to do. You're the Beis Din. I'm a little bit confused, by the way, because if Rebbe's talking to Rebbe Chia, isn't he the Nasi? Okay, so I'm a little bit confused by the dynamics over here, but it doesn't matter. The point is that what Rebbe says to Rebbe Chia is, look, here's what you're going to do. You need tomorrow to be Rosh Chodesh. Good. You'll make tomorrow Rosh Chodesh. So over here in our community, so you can't do it. Now, the Gemara is not particularly clear about what's wrong with doing it right over here. Rashi does offer a couple of pshatim. Probably has to do with the fact that everyone's looking at the old moon this morning. Okay, so go somewhere else and do it somewhere else. Okay, I totally understand that if the people here saw the old moon, so what difference does it make whether you're Mekadosh it here, whether you're Mekadosh it somewhere else? Regardless, again, it goes back to our basic point, which is based and ultimately is the one that's going to make this determination. So Zilla Ein Tav V'Kadosh Liyarcha. So go to Ein Tav and be Mekadosh Liyarcha V'Shalach Le Simana. And then give us a simon, meaning, and what's the sign, what's the simon that tells us that Beis Din was Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh? So David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kaya. Okay, so that's a simon. And then Rashi points out over here that why is that used as a simon? Nimshal Kalavana, because David is compared to the moon. Rashi quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Okay, and by Kiddush Levana, we all know. By Kiddush Levana, so we give each other the simon. But mind you, by the way, it's not like that's perfectly translatable. I mean, we're doing that by Kiddush Levana. There, they were doing it by Kiddush Rosh Chodesh. Okay, but anyway, fine. But still, the point is that, look, right, the problem is that you see the old moon this morning, on the morning of the 29th? Not a problem. Go somewhere else, be Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh, right? We need the calendar to work out a certain way. Again, it goes back to what I said in the beginning of this morning, and we've said in the past, there are counter considerations. Meaning that if Rosh Chodesh needs to be manipulated, Beis Din has ultimately the right, and I'll go even further, the obligation to manipulate Rosh Chodesh in order so that certain dates are achieved. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Continuing. Pamachas run Chav Hey Amud Aleph. We're halfway down in the Amud. Pamachas Niskashu Shamayim Ba'avim Venira Demos Levana Ve'esrim V'tishal Chodesh. So sometime there was one occasion where the clouds took a funny configuration. And it kind of looked like a moon. Be'esrim v'tisha l'chodesh on the 29th of month. Kitzvurim ha'am l'amar Rosh Chodesh. So they thought, okay, good. So it should be Rosh Chodesh. So that's what people thought. So uvikshu basin l'kadesho. So the basin thought, okay, so let's be mekadesh. Amar l'amram and gamlo kach mekublani mi base avi abba. He says, here's another long-standing tradition that I had. Second time today. Rambam Gamliel's quoting traditions that he got from his family. Ein chidusha shalavana p'chusa. So as far as the chidusha shalavana, so it cannot be any less than esrim v'tisha yom, 29 days, mechsa, half of a day, that's 12 hours, shnei shlisha'a, and 2/3 of an hour, and v'ayin gimel chalakim, and 73 chalakim. So again, back in the day, they took an hour, they didn't have minutes and seconds, they divided it into units. So units are called chalakim. 1 hour is equivalent to 1,080 chalakim. So over here, what he's describing now is 793 chalakim. So 29 days, 12 hours, 793 chalakim, the number I've been saying now since the beginning of the Masechta. So it's right here on today's daf, Chafei. So Rabbi Gamliel says, look, there's no way that we're going to be seeing the new moon on day 29. Meaning there's no way that from the previous Mola to day 29 this month, so we're going to be seeing the new moon. And so on that day, the mother of Ben Zaza died, and Rabbi Gamliel made a big hesped. She, quite frankly, she didn't deserve a big hesped. I know that's really blunt, but she didn't deserve such a big hesped. However, there was a murmuring. People were talking about, hey, did you hear? Today was Rosh Chodesh. We saw the moon. Meanwhile, they didn't see the moon. They just saw a funny cloud configuration, looked like the moon, but they didn't see the moon. And just to make sure that Rabbi Gamliel was able to broadcast to everyone that today is not Rosh Chodesh. And by the way, Rashi points out that this particular Rosh Chodesh also happened to have been Rosh Hashanah. So what he did is he was maspid. So we know the halach is that you don't give a hesped on Yantiv. You don't give a hesped. Even on a Rosh Chodesh, you don't give a hesped. So our minhag, of course, is that we do, but okay, it's hard. In other words, there are certain days of the year you're not supposed to give a hesped, but it's very hard. So, the minhag Yisrael is that we begrudgingly acknowledge that today we should be giving a hesped, but some things to consider. Okay. But he gave a hesped gadol, and he was there to show people that today was not in fact Rosh Chodesh. Okay, Adkan. We're going back to our Mishnah now, and we're going to just clean up a couple of points that we made in the Mishnah. So, Halach Rabbi Akiva Meitzar, Ibai Lumi Meitzar, Rabbi Akiva Meitzar, Rabbi Yeshua Meitzar. Who was the one who was upset? Was it Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yeshua? Now, from the context of the story, so it's very clear who was upset, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua thought that today should have been Rosh Hashanah, today shouldn't have been Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbi Gamliel decided otherwise. So, from the context, it's very clear, but if you're just reading the words of the Mishnah, so the wording of the Mishnah is not super clear, so Tashma D'Tanya, but the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa, and the Braisa could not be any clearer. Halach Rabbi Kiva Masal Rabbi Yoshua Kishua Meitzar. Okay, good. So now the whole reason why we're quoting the Braisa is really for that first line, where the Braisa is not saying it via pronoun, the Braisa is saying it with names. Rabbi Kiva finds Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua was despondent. Amarlo Rabbi, Mimne Ma'ata Meitzar, Amarlo, Akiva Roy Lo, Sheipo, Lemita, Yud Beis Chodesh, Va'al Yigzor Alecha, Gzerazu. He says, look, I'd rather be sick for 12 months rather than accept the Gzera of Rabbi Gamliel. Meaning he's deciding Rosh Hashanah to be the wrong day. And now I'm going to, where the Jewish people are not observing neither Rosh Hashanah nor Yom Kippur on the right day? Like it can't be. Like, I'd rather be sick for 12 months. Okay, it really bothered him. So Amalei Rebbe, Tarshen Lamalafanecha Davar Echad, Shalima Detani. So Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Yeshua, so here in the Braisa now, we're given a little more dialogue in terms of how that conversation went between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Yeshua, please allow me to share with you something you taught me. And that is Amalo Amor. So Rabbi Yeshua says, no, yeah, I need to hear it. So Amarlo, Hareyu Amar, Atem, Gimel Pahamim, Atem Afilu Shogim, Atem Afilu Mezidim, Atem Afilu Mutam. So, and he says, you open up to the Parsha, the Moadus in the Torah, and Parsha Zamor, and you're going to see three times the Torah says the words Atem, which means that what the Moad is all going to be contingent on is you. And that means to say that whenever Basin decides and determines it's to be Rosh Chodesh, that's it. It is Rosh Chodesh. And even if it's Shogig, even if it's Mezid, even if it's a mistake, under any circumstance, once Beis Din makes a determination of Rosh Chodesh, that's it. That's the day of Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Gamliel may be wrong, doesn't matter, right? Wrong in this case means right, meaning the right afilu, even under the circumstances where they say the right is the left and the left is the right, it's based in call. So Belashon Azam Alo Akiva Nechamtani. And so Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Akiva, good. So he comforted me. That's exactly what I needed to hear. Ba'alo Eitzel Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus. They go to Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus. Tana Rabbanan Lam Alon is Parshu Shmosam Shel Zekenim Halalo. So the Gemara now is going to be quoting a Braisa. It's a Tosefta. And this Braisa is going to elaborate on this idea that any basin subsequent to Moshe, we are to treat them like the basin of Moshe. So the Lamalos Barsha Shmosim shows the Kenim Halalu. So why aren't the names of the Zakenim together with Moshe? How come they're not named? Shalo Yomar Adam Plonika Moshe Varon Plonika Nadav Avio Plonika Eldad Umeidad. So because what people will say is, look, our Beis Din, were they like Moshe? Were they like Nadav and Avio? Were they like Eldad and Meidad? By the way, just really interesting names that we're citing over here in terms of like these great Bate Dinim. The Nadav and Avio tragically died. Eldad and Meidad, right? Unclear as in, even if they were even a member of the Sanhedrin. Seemingly they were not. Anyway, but from our Gemara over here, it's clear the Gemara puts them on the pedestal. And the Va'omer Va'yomer Shmuel Alam Hashem Asher Asas Moshe V'Saron Va'omer V'Yishlach Hashem Es Yerubal V'Esbedan V'Esyiftach V'Shmuel V'Yerubal V'Shmuel. And the Gemara now quotes also from Sefer Shmuel. And in Sefer Shmuel, so Shmuel's telling the people, look, what do you want? You want a king? Look at the leaders that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you. How Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you Yerubal and Bedan and Yiftach together with Shmuel. Okay, self-reference, but in other words, he gave you great leadership. Now, who are these leaders that Shmuel was making reference to? So, of course, Shmuel was the end of the tekufa of the Shoftim. So, he was describing various Shoftim, but he's referring to them by names that we're not particularly familiar with. So, the Gemara now is just going to spend a moment identifying who we're talking about. So, Yerubal's Zugidim, V'lama Nikra Shmuel Yerubal, Shasam Riva Im HaBaal. Okay, so he fought with the Avodah Zarah. So anyway, so Yerubal and Gidon are one and the same. And Bedan, that's Shimshon. Bedan's a Shimshon, V'lam Nikroshma Bedan, Dasi Midan. Because it comes from Shevet Dan. Okay, good. And Yiftach, Kemashmo. Now Yiftach, we don't have to figure it out who it is, we know who it is. Yiftach is Yiftach. Okay. And V'omer, Moshe, V'aron, B'chorna, V'shmuel, B'kori Shmo. And we know that as far as Shmuel's concerned, so where is he? So the Pasuk in Tehillim says that he's right on par with Moshe and Aaron. So basically now we're looking at leaderships of the Jewish people historically, and we have Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, and we have Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to say it because I can't say it, but the Gemara will say it. And meanwhile, we're talking about a heavyweight division and the lightweight division. And meanwhile, as far as the Navi is concerned, it's all the same, meaning they're all based in. And we are to treat them all the same. So, Shakal, I was right the first time. Shakal hakasov shlosha kale olam, ke shlosha chamure olam. Okay, so you have the lightweight division, the heavyweight division. And olam alecha, Yerubal bedaro, kemoshe bedaro. Bedan bedaro, ka'aron bedaro. Yiftach bedaro, kishmo bedaro. And as far as whatever generation you're living in, so that's it. Your basin is your basin. And you're to treat them like Moshe. You're to treat them like Aaron. You're to treat them like Shmuel. Okay. Lam dechasha afilo kalsha bekalem v'nisnam neparnas alatzibar harei ka'avir sheba avirim. And it doesn't matter who's appointed, meaning he could be kalsha bekalos, but nevertheless, if he's appointed as a leader of a generation, as the head of a Beis Din, so you're to treat him as such. V'omer. And furthermore, the Gemara is not done making its point. So the Pasuk in Shoftim says that you're going to go to the Shofet of your day. Like, what's the alternative? I'm going to go to an Av Beis Din who's not living in my generation? Right? We haven't figured out how to move in time yet. And, right? Probably not going to happen. I think I'm confident about that. So, ha ein lecha leilech. So, ela eitzel shofet shebiyamav. So, obviously, the only one you can go to is the one in your generation. The omer, and again, the Gemara is just not letting go of this point. Al tomar ma hayashi ayamim arishonim hayutovim e'ela. And don't say, the earlier generations, they really knew. Our generation, look at our generation, look at our leaders. Don't say that, says the Pasuk in Koheles. And again, the Gemara is obviously spending a lot of time on this point because, obviously, you know, the Gemara understands the human condition and how we all think. And the way we think is that, you know, once upon a time we had great leadership. Not nowadays. And no, in other words, whatever decisions are rendered by our leadership, that's it. That's what we have to abide by. Not la maklo masabiado, finishing up. Tanu Rabbanan, Gemara quotes the Braisa, Kevin Sharao Oso Amad. I'm sorry, Kevin Sharao Oso. So the moment that Rabbi Gamliel sees Rabbi Yehoshua. So Amad Mikisa Vinashkar Rosho. So he gets up from his chair and he kisses him. Amar lo shalom alecha Rebbe v'tamidei Rebbe she'limaditani Torah b'rabim. So Rebbe, so you talk, you give public discourse. You're teaching Torah to the masses. And tamidei she'ani goes there alecha gzera v'atame kaima kitalmid. And meanwhile, I make decrees and you follow my decrees. Asher hador shagadol nishvam l'katanim kavachomer katanim l'gadolim. Praiseworthy is the generation where the great ones are listening to the ones who are less great. And kavachomer katanim l'gadolim. And how much more so should people who are less great listen to people who are greater? Kavachomer chiyuvahu. The Gemara says, kavachomer, what do you mean? What do you mean? We'll make a logical argument. Before we get to the logical argument, meaning that's the obligation. Meaning you have the gadol in your generation saying something, so you listen. So alam itoch shagadol nishman l'katanim, no, sim katanim, kavachomer ba'atzman. So the Gemara says, no, and it's incumbent upon the gadolim to listen to katanim, and it'll serve as a model lesson. Meaning if gadolim are listening to katanim, so for sure now, I know it's an obligation, but okay, obligation aside, you know, people think they're right. Again, human nature. It's the way we're hardwired. So people think they're right. The gadol says otherwise, okay, but so what? It's a chiyuv, but furthermore, if we see that the gadolim are listening to the leadership, so for sure the katanim are going to listen to the leadership as well. Hadralach im einan makirin. Ad kan. That is the end of the second parak of the Masechta. And we're going to begin. We're going to begin this morning now the third parak. So again, the third parak is going to be talking about shofar. But shofar does not formally start until tomorrow's daf. Okay, I already made this point. Not really sure why. The beginning of the third parak looks like it really belongs at the end of the second parak, as we're going to continue discussing issues of Kiddush HaChodesh for one more Mishnah and one more sugya. We're not going to finish it today. We'll start it today. Why the Prakim are broken up this way, I don't have a good explanation. Let's begin. Ra'u Beisdin, V'chol Yisrael. So Beisdin saw the new moon. The Jewish people saw the new moon. Now, Nechkeru Ha'edim. In a moment's time, we're gonna break up the Mishnah a little bit differently. Meaning, right now it sounds like the Mishnah is giving us all one scenario. It's not going to be one scenario. It's going to be multiple scenarios. But anyway, we'll clean that up in just a moment. V'lohi speak olomar mikudash. And the point is, however, is that the day's coming to an end, and we couldn't all get our act together. Meaning that there's a lot of processes we've gone through now in the previous parak, and the day came and went, and Basin did not get to say the words mikudash. Ache chashecha, and it's nighttime already. Harezem ubar. So at that point in time now, so Rosh Chodesh is going to be tomorrow. Despite the fact that there was a sighting of the new moon, not only was there a sighting, witnesses came and reported, and even if Basin already saw the new moon, but if we just didn't finish the proceedings until the evening, okay, so it's this thing is procedural, and therefore everything's just going to get pushed off till tomorrow. Next scenario. Reu Basin Bavad. So let's say Basin saw the new moon. Okay, and for whatever reason, there are no witnesses around. So yamdu shnayim v'yayidu b'fneim. So what's going to happen now? Two are going to step down from the bench. They're going to take off their dayan hat. They're going to put on their aid hat, and they're going to testify. V'yamru mikudash mikudash, and then sanctification of the new moon. Again, the Gemara is going to be discussing why we need that. Why can't the basin just simply be mikudash based on what they saw? Stay tuned. We're going to discuss. Re'u shlosha v'hein beizdin. Let's say three people saw, and they happen to be basing. Yamdu Ashtaim v'yoshiva mechavrehem eitzel hayachid. So over here, it's just three. So it's just three now. Now, again, we're going to have the same thing. Two are going to step off the bench in order to testify. The problem now is that they're only testifying in front of one. So you can't have them testifying in front of one. Basing requires three. Okay, good. So we're over here now. We're going to need to get two more people to serve on the basin. So v'yoshiva mechavrehem eitzel hayachid v'yayidu b'fneim. Okay, you can't have one person serving as a beis din for Kiddush HaChodesh. Okay. Ad kan divrei HaMishnah. Lama le lemisna ru beis din v'chol Yisrael. So the Gemara says, okay, now the first scenario of our Mishnah is that beis din saw it, Yisrael saw it, everybody saw it. Everybody saw the new moon. So it's true. The Gemara says the point the Mishnah is making is necessary. At that point in time, if everybody saw it, so I know we didn't finish the proceedings, but everybody saw it. Basin saw it. Everybody saw it. Okay, so let's make today Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara's answer, that's exactly the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Chiddush of the Mishnah is that if we didn't finish the proceedings, then Basin wasn't actually Mekadesh it. So then Li Abrua. We're gonna make it, we're gonna move Rosh Choshel tomorrow. So Kamash Malam, Vikavan Tatana Le Ru Basin Bechol Yisrael. Nechuru Aidam Lamali. So the Gemara says, okay, how do you read the Mishnah again? So the first scenario of the Mishnah was that the basin saw the Jewish people, everybody saw the new moon. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe Nechur Aedim. That seems to be unnecessary. Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to break up the Mishnah. Inami Nechuru Aedim. So the correct way to read the Mishnah is that the Nechur Aedim is another scenario. Meaning one scenario of the Mishnah is that basin saw it together with the Jewish people. Everyone saw the new moon. That's one scenario. Then the Mishnah is moving to another scenario, which is the Edom are coming and reporting, and the Edom are already been interrogated. And again, the point is still going to be the same point. However, we just didn't get to complete the proceedings until after night. Okay, so that's what's happening. In the Mishnah, is describing not one, but two different scenarios. So the Gemara says, okay, so but still, couldn't we have all figured it out? Meaning, if the point is that Basin has to finish off with the words Mekudesh, Mekudesh, so can we just simply say that once we know that, so then even with Chakira Seidim, even with interrogation, if Basin didn't complete it by the end of the day, so then we're going to move Rosh Choshel tomorrow. Another Gemara says, Itzrich, Salkadat Ramina, Tehavi Chakir Se'edim Ketchilas Din. So the Gemara says, here's what we could have argued. We could have argued that once Basin started the process, we already have witnesses, we're already interrogating the witnesses, so now that's the beginning of Din. Umekush Bekudish Gemar Din. And now when Basin issues their decision that this is a new month, we'll call that Gemar Din. That's the conclusion. Veliktashe Balayla. And even though the day is over, okay, but can't we now all simply say that this is just the end of the process? And me did the Havei Adine Mamonos. You know that works by Mamonos, did none. Mishnah. Dine Mamonos done in Yom V'Gomer B'Layla. That even though Din has to be done during the day, but that's the Haschalas Din, that's the beginning. If this particular case extends into the evening, that's fine. It can extend into the evening and can be concluded by this evening. And that would be no problem whatsoever. And that's true by monetary law. So if that's true by civil law, so shouldn't it be the same thing by Rosh Chodesh as well? Hachinami, Mikashim Balayla, Kamash Malan. And so I would have thought now that if the court proceedings started during the day, okay, so let it conclude by the evening. It sounds reasonable. So the Gemara says, and that's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us, that although it sounds reasonable, the Gemara says, but that's not the conclusion. To which the Gemara says, Ve'ema Hachinami. The Gemara says, well, that's interesting. Meaning, not only does it sound reasonable, if by monetary law, if by Dine Mamonos, so as long as it starts during the day, you can finish at night. So why don't we say the same thing over here? So Amakra, Kichok Lishahu, Mishpah Lalake Yaakov. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to quote the Pasuk in Tehillim. This Pasuk in Tehillim has made numerous appearances in our Masechta, and that is that in the establishment of Rosh Chodesh, the Pasuk, right, we, all the way back on Daf Ches, we noted that this is a description of the establishment of Rosh Chodesh, not just any Rosh Chodesh, but Rosh Hashanah. Regardless, the Gemara over here is going to tease out the following point from the Pasuk. Amos have a chok, bigmar din. So, chok, meaning chok is a reference to the actual decision. And that's the gemar din. In other words, when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, everything up until that point in time is just the necessary prerequisites to get to the decision. And meanwhile, Chok li Yisrael hu mishpah lokei Yaakov. So Chok is now on the basin issuing the decision of Mekudesh Mekudesh. In that very same pasuk, what do we have? We have the word mishpat. V'kakarilei rachmana mishpat. Ma mishpat b'yom af hachanami b'yom. So over here, the Chok has to be done at the same zman as mishpat. Just like mishpat is done during the day, Chok, meaning the declaration of Rosh Chodesh, also needs to be done during the day as well. Okay, so in other words, question. Why can't we just simply say that as long as the basin started the proceedings during the day and finished at night, so why can't we just simply call that a gemar din like we do elsewhere in the rules of Beis Din? And the answer is gzeiras hakasef, meaning that's not Rosh Chodesh. The declaration Mekudesh Mekudesh must be done during the night. I'm sorry, must be done during the day. Okay, good. Ro Beis Din yamdu shnayim v'yaidu bifneihem. We'll do a little bit more this morning. Okay, so basin sees, so yam du shnayim v'yeidu bifneihem. So we're talking about a basin that's made up of more than three dayanim, whatever the number is. There's five dayanim, let's say, and then two of them are going to step down from the bench in order to testify in front of the three. So the Gemara says, "Va'amai lo teishmei gadol lemiri'iyam." So the Gemara says, "Now let's follow what's happening over here." Beis Din saw the new moon. Okay, good. So now they're gonna testify that they saw the new moon and they're gonna declare it to be Rosh Chodesh. Now over here, it's Beis Din. So since it's Beis Din, so the Mishnah describes where two are gonna step down from the bench in order to testify. The Gemara says, "I'm not following why that's necessary. If Beis Din saw it, so why do they need to hear testimony?" As we all understand really clearly, the purpose of hearing testimony is so that you learn and you discover. But they know it. What kind of discovery do they need right now in terms of, oh, let's hear. What did you see? Well, we saw what we all saw. They're based in. So why can't they just simply declare it to be Rosh Chodesh based on the fact that they themselves saw? The Gemara's Lashon, Lo Teishmiya Gedola Meri'iya. Hearing about it cannot be better than actually seeing it. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, could go and Sharu Balaila. So I'm sorry, before I get to the Gemara's answer, so I will pause over here. I'm going to take a look at a really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes over here. I'm going to read the Rashi. It's really interesting. Rashi over here offers us what is a tremendous chiddush, and that is that I don't need edus when it comes to edus achodesh. Meaning, obviously, if Beis Din didn't see it, so they can declare Rosh Chodesh based on testimony, but it's not necessary. Meaning, if the Dayanim saw the moon, it's themselves, so then we can go straight to the Dayanim declaring it to be Rosh Chodesh. Eidus is not a necessary requirement by Eidus HaChodesh, by Kiddush HaChodesh. Ela kazeh, re'eh v'kadesh. You see the new moon, right? See it, say it, right? You could just simply declare it. That's Rashi over here. Really interesting Rashi. You can see Tosus reacts. Tosus, I'm not going to go through the Tosus right now. Tosus does not like it. I mean, Tosus says, anytime Dayanim see something, so they can decide based on what they saw. Okay, anyway. But the Gemara's response, Kigon Shara'u Balaila. So the Gemara says, no, what happened is that they saw it at night, meaning that Dayanim saw it at night. So the Dayanim saw it at night, so they can't declare it to be Rosh Chodesh at night. Again, declaration of Rosh Chodesh has to be done during the day. So the only time now that they can actually go ahead with the proceedings is going to be the next day. But the next day they didn't actually see it. So now it's going to be, now you need Eidus. Okay, so that's why two of the Dayanim are going to step off the bench in order to testify. Okay, let's do one more. Ra'uhu shlosha vehein based in Yamdushan v'yoshim mechavreim etzal yachid. So now let's say that based in saw the moon, right, just like in the previous scenario, but here it's only three Dayanim. So now what? So now you're going to have two stepping off the bench, but two stepping off the bench, so that means that there's now only one left on the bench. You can't have that. So you'll have to replace them with two other Dayanim. So Amai Hachanami name Elote Shmei Gedola Miriya. So the Gemara says, okay, ditto on the previous question. Meaning, and the reason why it's a ditto is that if the Mishnah is giving us a new scenario, that must mean that there's a new Chiddush. So what's the new Chiddush? Meaning, if the whole Chiddush is that they saw it at night, okay, that was in the previous case. And that's the Gemara makes exactly that point. V'chitem Hachanami Kigon Shavu Balayla Hainohach. And if you're going to tell me that in this scenario, well, they saw it at night, and that's why they can't testify. I'm sorry. They can't be Mekadosh on their own witnessing. And that's why they need Eidim. Good. But we already made that point. So the Gemara says, no. Seifa Itzrich Lei. Deina Yachanem on Aidei Atzmo. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Chiddush over here is that I cannot have one Dayan. Salkadat Chamina Hovo Vitnan or Tanya. Deina Mamanus Beshoshim Hayamum Chalarabim Dana Fil Biyachid. Hachanam Elikdashe Biyachidi Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush over here is that I can't have one Dayan. Meaning, in Dine Mamanos, so if you have non-mumchim, so you need three. If you have a mumchim, you could use one. Okay, good. That's by Dine Mamanos. Over here, you can't use one. V'em ha'achinami, ein lecha mumcha l'rab me'yisol, yosem me'moshe rabbeinu, v'kamale ha'kadosh baruch hu, ad di'ika, aron be'hadeich, d'chsiv, ayam ha'shem ha'moshe, ve'al aron, be'etzim shayim lemor ha'chodesh hazeh lachem. So the Gemara's response is, yeah, but over here, even though it's true, by Dine Mamanos, you can have one dayan mumcha. But over here, the Torah tells us you can't. Why? Because look, right, who's greater than Moshe, as we already established earlier this morning? The answer is nobody. And meanwhile, when it comes to Kiddush HaKadosh, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? You, Moshe, together with Aaron. Already, so you see that one is insufficient. Oh, what about two? Yeah, but two is an even number. That's the Beis Din Shakel. So that you'll get a third one to come on. Okay. Lememra is exactly where we're going to stop. I know we have a little bit more to the Mishnah, but this is going to be our point where we're going to pause. And we'll pick it up with Aiden Asadayan. It happens to be a big topic, but we'll pause over here and let's quickly recap. Okay, the most of our morning focused around an unbelievable episode, a historical episode, where Aram and Gamliel declares it to be a Rosh Chodesh on a day where Edom are testifying about something which seemingly is impossible. Rabbi Yehoshua was aghast at the idea that Rabbi Gamliel actually decided that that day was going to be Rosh Chodesh. And so the conflict that occurs between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Yehoshua needs to be pacified. And he speaks to Rabbi Akiva, and he speaks to Rav Dosa ben Horkanus, and an amazing historical episode. And the power of Beis Din, and the power of listening to Beis Din, and the need for us to follow leadership, right or wrong. We have to follow leadership, and the idea that every Beis Din in every generation is to be treated like the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so like a lot of powerful ideas in the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, after the conclusion of the second parak, we started the third parak, and for reasons that I cannot explain, third parak stays on the topic of Kiddush HaChodesh. That's not the main topic of the third parak. It moves on to discuss Shofar, but meanwhile, a little bit more about Kiddush HaChodesh, and that is that the 2 points that we learned together in the Mishnah, right? I'm just saying as a summary. One is that Kiddush HaChodesh must be done during the day. And unlike Dine Mamanos, where you could start during the day, you could finish at night, when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, it has to be started and completed during the daytime. That's one. And number two is that if Beis Din sees the new moon, so they can make the determination of Rosh Chodesh based on their own Re'iyah. If they see it at night, so then what's going to have to happen is that the next morning, the members of Beis Din are going to step off the bench in order to testify in front of the other members of Beis Din. And then the last point that we discovered is that Beis Din has to be made up of three for Kiddush HaChodesh. In Dine Mamanos, you could have one dayan, but not for Kiddush HaChodesh.